Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This is Let Me Tell You. Now, here's Joan Hamburg.
I'm Joan Hamburg, inviting you to join my podcast, Let Me Tell You. And this week, my pal, Jill Rapoport, is coming on. And boy, does she have stories. When I first met Jill, we were all working for CBS TV. And Jill was doing the celebrity beat. And believe me, she talked to everyone from Frank Sinatra to Robert Redford to George Clooney. And they all loved her and they told her everything. And then Jill decided, yes, they were her friends. She loved doing celebrities. She won every award. But her passion was animals and animal rescue. So I'm going to let Jill tell you her story and share her adventures. It's all part of this week's Let Me Tell You. So make sure you listen till the end. I'm Joan Hamburg. It's catch-up time, and I like to check in with a lot of my pals, find out what they're doing, where they're going, how they're getting through what's going to be 3 years. We started on year three of this pandemic. And you know, you've heard her before on the air, a longtime contributor to the Today Show, has done tons of TV, award-winning animal advocate, and a businesswoman too, the one and only Jill Rapoport. So Jill, it's catch-up time, and I always like to check in. How many horses do you have now?
I have four. So, yes, I have four horses and sadly just three rescue dogs. I lost three during COVID. So it's been a very, very tough time. And I've helped friends get other rescue animals. And Lord knows, Joan, like my addiction to candy, can you imagine when I go into a shelter? Believe me, it's impossible for me not to take them all, but I've been very good in having willpower because I have some super seniors that need all my attention now.
Right, it's hard. That's
it's
right.
It's very hard. We love them.
And you're running around with them, too, and doing all kinds of zillions of things. But, you know, I first met Jill Rapoport. I don't even remember what channel we were working
at
in those days. We were with CBS. I know it's
CBS
like
in the makeup room.
And we all would hang out. And Carol Martin was there. She was one of the lead anchors. And we had a ball. And we
our beloved Michelle Marsh.
Right. And we all found friendships. We were all different ages. We all came from different places. And we met in that green room, the makeup room. And we have been knowing about each other, with each other, for what, 30 years, 20 years?
Oh, yeah, over. Yeah, remember when Brian Williams came his first day? And
right.
I thought, oh, he's cute. I wonder if he'll be good at what he does.
And I remember you thinking, I don't know if he's got it. He was just so
well,
nice. And then
he was very, you know, it was funny
low-key.
Because, you know, when you first met Brian, that was not the Brian that he is. You know, he has the best sense of humor.
The absolutely funniest
hysterical.
Guy of
very
anyone.
Very reserved
truly funny.
And a real news guy when you first meet him, right?
But funny.
Funny, unbelievable. And, you know, you see
him.
That sense of humor and it came out and obviously he did quite well. But when you think about all the people, all the relationships going back over three decades and, you know, we stayed in touch, that was our stomping grounds. That was the foundation for all of our careers.
Right. And the interesting thing is that when we left, We sort of all left at the same time.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's really funny because I started Entertainment News in New York with that segment Center Stage.
Right.
And I'll tell you, it was unbelievable. I'll never forget it. And you and I would talk about this often because I came from PM Magazine, where I hosted that show with Matt Lauer, and it got canceled. And I was, you know, desperate looking for work in New York, thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I had an interview at WCBS, and I said, well, I love celebrities, you know, I'm the happiest sitting down with them, right, finding out about their lives, and I landed a job there, but they put me through, it was like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. I had to bring home the broom, and the broom for me was that Tom Cruise was going to be in town at the time. He was married to Mimi Rogers, we're talking decades ago, and he was going to be at an art gallery opening, and the news director at the time, Steve Wasserman, he said to me, if you get an interview with Tom Cruise, remember, he was just coming off Top Gun, biggest star in the world, he said, you've got the job. And I thought, oh, great. You know, thanks for giving me such an easy assignment. So we go there with the crew. Back then, you know, you had your sound man, your cameraman.
Right.
There must have been 25 crews lined up outside.
Trying to get him.
And all of a sudden, he gets out of, you know, the limo with Mimi. The screaming, Tom, Tom, we love you, we love you. He couldn't even hear me. Well, I waited till there was a slight lull, and I said, Tom, you have to give me the interview. My job depends on it. And wouldn't you know, he was such an amazing guy. He said, what? And I said, oh, I won't get this job unless I get this interview. And he gave me the only interview, and I got the job.
That's right. And then you had a lot more adventures like that. Plus, I have to tell all of you that there wasn't a week that I was now, I think, on the radio. We all did TV, too. But Jill would say, depending on who the boyfriend was, you've got to put him on the air. I say, what does he do? It doesn't matter. He's got to be on the air. And our manager at the time would say, who are these guys? I'd say, oh, don't worry about it. They're going to be big stars one day.
And you would always help me out, Joan. You were such a friend. And I remember I would come back from assignments. Channel 2 was unbelievable. I had such great assignments there and then went on to the Today Show. But when I look back, and I have my wall of fame, I call it, I had breakfast at Tiffany's with Audrey Hepburn. I sat on a gurney with his first interview, mind you, with the Today Show for ER with George Clooney. His very first interview. I almost needed a gurney after sitting with him. I literally got to spar with Muhammad Ali. And one of my funniest stories was with Frank Sinatra. I'll never forget it. Do you remember Dennis Stein? He was one
of
his best friends.
Yes, of course.
Man about town. He had asked me out for dinner, and I got a kick out of Dennis. We never dated, but he was really flamboyant and funny and smart. And as we're walking into Patsy's, literally going into the door, he goes, by the way, we're having dinner with Frank and Barbara. I said, as in Sinatra? And he said, yes. And Robert Wagner and Jill St. John. I said, oh, sure, just a normal dinner. And as we open the door and I see them and he whispers in my ear, he goes, whatever you do, do not tell them you're a reporter. Do not let Frank know that you're in the media. Because remember, at that time, we're talking in the 80s, that Kitty Kelly book came out on Frank Sinatra. And he, needless to say, he wasn't exactly a fan of female journalists at the time. So I'm thinking, what do I say I do? So I go to sit down, and he couldn't have been nicer. So, Jill, tell me, how'd you meet Dennis? And I'm talking to him. He goes, what do you do? And I looked at Dennis. I said, I'm in real estate. And he said, oh, really? Well, Barbara and I are looking for an apartment. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm sitting here lying to Frank Sinatra, and now he wants me to take him to look at an apartment. Can you imagine?
But knowing you, you could do it.
Well, the funniest was Robert Wagner knew who I was because his daughter, Katie Wagner, was an aspiring entertainment reporter at the time, and she knew me. And, you know, I wasn't national. I was on local television, and Robert Wagner knew who I was, and he kind of winked at me. And we became friendly years later. In fact, he and Jill are in my book, People We Know, Horses They Love. But I have to tell you, to meet Frank Sinatra, and I became friendly with Barbara. She loved to shop like me, and I would take her. There was a store by the name of Robert Elliott on Madison Avenue, and they had leather and suede, and she loved the color orange. That was Frank's favorite color, too. If you remember, he'd always wear the orange handkerchief in his tuxes, and she loved to shop, and I, you know me, I love to shop, and I love a deal, and she couldn't believe the deals I got. So I would take Barbara shopping, and I got to really get to know her. And, you know, it was just the high of highs. But looking back, you know, and Joan, you and I have talked about this before, I was quite friendly with Carolyn Bessette. I met her through Calvin Klein.
John,
she was
Kennedy's
working for him.
Wife.
Do you remember, Joan?
Of course.
Yes, and so we would get together often, and one night she said, we have to go to this party, you know, on the Upper East Side, and it was in a hotel, and we went there, and who is there? JFK Jr. Now, they hadn't met yet, and I witnessed the whole thing. He was checking her out, walking around looking at her. She knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. She was very aware. And would you believe he came up to her, and I literally witnessed her blowing him off. She kind of threw her hair back and turned away and walked. And I went up to her. I said, are you out of your mind? She said, well, he's definitely not used to that. She knew how to play it. It was unbelievable. And that night she was staying with me in my apartment, and I kept saying, what are you, crazy? You know, she was really one of the most beautiful women.
Yeah, she had an elegance that was.
Oh, what? She just had a look about her, and she played that right. You know, she wasn't going to be like every single woman in the world
falling
and throw themselves at him. But she went the opposite. She basically blew him off. And you know what happened, the love story that ensued after. But, you know, these stories are just so unbelievable because of my job. I also got to meet Dodi Fayed and went on a date with him.
Oh, what was he like? Do you remember? That was a long time ago.
Yes. You know, obviously that was the last relationship that Princess Diana had was with Dodi mm-hmm. Fayed. And I have to tell you, a friend of mine said, he's a great guy. He's going to be in New York. You know, he made movies. He was a director and a producer. Mm-hmm. And he called me, and he was so lovely on the phone. And literally, we set a date. He pulls up to my driveway. Now, you know, Joan, I live on the Upper East Side. There's that circular driveway.
Right.
He had one of those movie vans that took up the whole driveway where you, you know, literally you sleep in it, you shower in it. And the doormen are going, what the heck is going on? No one could get in and out of the driveway. But he was, honest to goodness,
charming.
The nicest, forget charming, the nicest, sweetest person. You know, I had dog hair all over me. What else is new? And I said, oh, you have to forgive me. There's no lint brush in the world that can take care of my wardrobe with all my rescues. And he goes, tell me about your dogs. I love dogs. That's so great. Oh, he was just the kindest, looked at you in the eye. You never would even for a minute, other than the van that was longer than, you know, the city, think that he had money. He was so down to earth, so kind, so interested in you. And it was really quite an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting look at this guy who most of us never saw in that way through the eyes of the media. But I remember the years you had the biggest crush on Robert Redford.
Oh, boy.
Your favorite.
Yeah, I named my horse Sundance. I would have named him Hubble. But I'll never forget that, you know, when I did that book, People We Know Horses They Love, and because it was benefiting Clay and Newman's foundation, Pegasus, and we had a wonderful chapter in there with her wonderful parents, Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. And I called Redford's publicist and assistant at the time and said, you know, Paul Newman is going to be in the book and we're benefiting Pegasus. He said, I'm in. And next thing I know, not only was he in, he was our cover. And the funniest story about that, Joan, I go with my sister, who is the photographer. We go to Sundance. We go out to Utah. And we're photographing him literally in a huge field. He's on this gorgeous, majestic Palomino. The horse is gold. His hair is gold. I'm on the ground looking up at him. And he said, you know, be careful, Jill, because there's snakes there. And I looked at him. I said, well, if I die looking up at you, it's okay. And so, you know, we took the photo. And it's funny because it's the photo where right when I made that comment, he's smiling looking down at me. And that's the photo we used for the cover. Aww. And then later that evening, I'm in the restaurant at Sundance and eating dinner. And he's at another table. And I went up to him. I said, Bob, I'm so sorry to disturb you. But, you know, I need you to sign this release. And, you know, he did this whole interview and, you know, we have to get the release and make sure he's okay with everything. He just quickly signs it, right? Doesn't even read it. Comes over to the table about an hour and a half later. You know, he had a couple glasses of wine. He was feeling good. He sits down. He said, you know, I probably should have read that release. I didn't even read what I was signing. I said, no problem. Next year I'll own half of Sundance, and I'm also going to be Mrs. Robert Redford this year. He had such a great sense of humor, and every year I get a Christmas card from him. And we have a special relationship. I can honestly say that. You know, he's always so kind when I reach out and tell him what I'm doing for rescue. He's so supportive of that because he's all about the environment and the rescue animals and the wild Mustangs and saving whatever he can, preserving what we have now. He's an incredible human being, and he suffered such a loss this year, as you know, Joan, losing his beloved son, Jamie.
Oh, awful, because my kids went to school with his kids.
Shauna, right? And the daughters, right?
Yes.
And Amy?
Yeah. They went to Dalton. A school here in New York City.
You know, he still will not use, his publicist told me, does not use the internet. When he writes to you, he'll send you a letter.
It's a note, right.
Yeah, he's really, you know, I would imagine, you know, the technology age we live in and what's going on now, you know, he's one of the class acts and just stands for everything that we should all stand for. And
without question.
Great person, right?
But let me ask you, at one point, you have this career, you're doing great, and you decided, and a lot of us were like, what are you doing, to walk away from the celebrity thing, which you were excelling at, and had the confidence of all these stars that no one could get, and you said, I don't want to do this anymore. I mean, I love my friends, but I want to do something more important.
Yes, you know, it's interesting. I've maintained relationships with so many of these, I hate to say so-called celebrities, because they're just wonderful people who happen to be very well-known. But like Christie Brinkley, you know, I met her when Alexa was in diapers and interviewed. She was my first national interview for People magazine on TV when they had that special. And with Billy Joel there and Alexa knowing all the words to We Didn't Start the Fire at one-year-old Prodigy. And, you know, I've maintained these friendships with Robert Duvall and Lindsey Vonn. And, you know, it's really wonderful because what I did, the next chapter that I went into, animal advocacy, which was really always my oxygen and what I cared about the most, all of these people are involved with as well. So it's kind of been a natural transition where I'm out there helping and saving animals, and so many well-known people are doing the same and care about it. So it's actually been easier for me to get some of these great interviews with these famous people because they want to talk about things that matter to them. You know, and millennials today, young people today, thank goodness, it's not about the product and the plug. It's about the cause. They want to know that if they're purchasing something, it has a purpose. It means something, and that their money is going towards something that will make a difference. And so I've maintained those relationships with these celebrities based on what we're doing to give back. And I'll never forget, I was at a screening years ago for It's Complicated, the movie with Meryl Streep and Alec Baldwin. And Meryl Streep was there, and she said, how are you? I mean, again, like Redford, one of the finest human beings you know, Joan, that you'll ever meet.
Right.
And I said, I'm doing great. I said, you know, I'm no longer the entertainment reporter. And first she took a little gasp, and I said, I've switched my whole beat. I'm now their animal advocate. And she said, good for you. You found your heart's mission. And, you know, I think that's what it's all about. You know the saying, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And,
right.
You know, that's what it is. And some days are harder than others because you don't get any money for what you love.
Right. No, but you started a business, too. You develop leashes for rescue. I mean, they're all for a good cause, but you turned this passion you know, into not only giving back, but into a business that can make a difference.
Right. Well, that's what I've been working up and gearing up to this for years, because I created all these products, and we're just now, it's brand new for your listeners, petproductswithapurpose.com, a whole website devoted to every product, and everything on there is giving back, and all our models are up for rescue and adoption, and it's never been done before. I can honestly say I've reinvented the wheel in that respect, and I'm so excited about this because the products are amazing. Their models are going to hopefully get a home from it, and we give back to shelters and to rescue groups. So I'm very, very proud of this. And like I said, we've got great stories on there, and celebrities will be involved. And wait till you see Joan. I cannot wait to get for your beloved fur angel one of my light-up leashes. You can see her dog a mile away. We have three speeds, marquee lighting. It comes with a charger and sayings like opt to adopt. I'm a pound hound. Be bold, go old, because I'm all about the seniors. And I'm really trying to do things. Again, it's not about buying the product just to buy. It's about giving back and saving a life. So I'm hoping it will do well, and more important, just like the initiative I just launched with ARF, we want to get the underdogs out of the shelters.
That's hard,
not puppies.
Too.
Yeah, we're focusing, thank God. You know, I had the opportunity to meet the beloved Betty White. It's all about seniors, special needs, and the underdogs, the pit bulls, the ones nobody wants. So, you know, we've got to change that. We have to change that perception and let people know how wonderful they are so they're not languishing in shelters forever.
Right. Well, good luck, Jill Rappaport. We'll talk to you very soon. In fact, it's almost Annabelle, my very neurotic but wonderful standard poodle. She's going to be 10.
I can't believe my Stanley. My standard poodle's going to be 9.
Oh,
can you believe it?
No, I can't. And she runs like crazy on the beach, everywhere.
Well,
she's got the energy.
Well, if it's any consolation to you, Annabelle's, you know, a little crazy, you know, and a crazy personality and outgoing and, you know, sometimes, you know, a little too
outgoing.
They
yeah.
say that those live the longest. The ones that have the feistiest personality tend to thrive longer. So Annabelle should be around for decades.
God bless her. All right, Jill. We'll talk again very soon.
Okay. Thank you, Joan.
I'll see you. All the best. That's Jill Rappaport. I'm Joan Hamburg. You're listening to your favorite radio station.